Egypt's going to come conquer Egypt. It might have been expected, you might say, because of the weakened condition of Egypt, the strength of Babylon, but it's still, it's a proven condition. It's a proven prediction. But let's go further. Chapter 30, verse 12, or verse 13. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease from Memphis. And there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt. And I will put a fear in the land of Egypt. I will make Paphos desolate, will set fire in Zoan, and will execute judgments in No. And I will pour my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, No shall be torn asunder, Memphis shall have distresses daily. So when we go further in verse 13, we read, I will destroy the idols and will cause their images to cease from Memphis, and there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt. Now Memphis was a great Egyptian city, very ancient city. If you go back in Egyptian history, when Menes, M-E-N-E-S, combined Upper and Lower Egypt at about 3000 B.C., he built a new capital city, and he called it Memphis. So the history of Memphis goes back to about 3000 B.C., the first capital city of United Egypt. It was one of the most ancient and important cities of Egypt throughout Egyptian history. It was either the capital or one of the most important cities from 3000 on. So here Ezekiel comes along and says, I will destroy the idols and will cause their images to cease from Memphis. That's a rather remarkable prediction. That's like saying, at the time of the Roman Empire, that I will cause all the idols and images to cease from Rome. Rome's full of them. There's still a lot of them there today. But you know, it's a remarkable prediction. But then the verse goes on and says, there will be no more a prince. The King James says, of the land of Egypt. If you look at look there in the Hebrew, it's would not see me eretz Mitzrayim lo yet old, and a prince may eretz from the land of Egypt not shall be still or yet. So literally it's a prince from the land of Egypt. And I'm not sure why the King James translated it of. And if you look at the NIV, the RSV, and even the New American Standard, they all say in the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim, in. There shall no more be a prince in the land of Egypt. There must have been hundreds of princes in the land of Egypt since the time that Ezekiel made that prophecy. I think it's more correct to read it from the land of Egypt. From the land of Egypt. The idea is that a prince from the land of Egypt shall not continue to be or to rule. I don't think, again, you're here with this lo yet old. We looked at that same kind of this construction in Isaiah 4, I'm not sure the verse where it says they will learn war no more. Does that mean never again will they learn war? Or does it mean lack of continuation? I think it's lack of continuation is the idea. And that a prince from the land of Egypt will not continue to be. Doesn't necessarily mean no more forever, but there will not continue to be a prince from the land of Egypt. Now, let's look historically and see what happens. The Egyptians were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, as verses 10 and 11 prophesied. He put Babylonians there to rule in Egypt. But not many years later, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And the Persians put Persian rulers in Egypt. They ruled for a couple centuries, and then Alexander the Great moves eastward, and he conquers the Persian Empire and puts Greek rule in Egypt. Alexander dies, his empire breaks up into four parts, and one of his generals, Ptolemy, seizes control of Egypt. Ptolemy is a Greek. And so you have Greek rule in Egypt for another period of centuries. The Ptolemies represented themselves as pharaohs, but they were Greeks. They weren't princes from the land of Egypt. So that over 600 years after the time of Ezekiel, there's no more a prince from the land of Egypt. Previous to that, foreign rule was the exception. That brief interlude, you know, in millennia of time, that brief interlude of the Hyksos rule, 1750 to 1570, and then at about 600, a brief time of Assyrian control. But you see, foreign rule is the exception through the history of Egypt for four millennia, for thousands of years. But you can take this further. After Greek rule, the Romans take over Egypt, and Egypt's ruled by the Romans. They ruled Egypt for about 600 years. And then the Arabs conquered Egypt. And the Arab rules. The Arabs ruled Egypt. Not native Egyptians. At about 1000 AD, the Turks take over. And the Turks rule Egypt up until 1850. In 1850, Egypt declared its independence, and when they declared independence, it was still a Turkish ruler, King Farouk, that was in power, and his house continued until the revolution of Nasser in comparatively recent times. And you could debate Nasser. Is Nasser a prince from the land of Egypt? My guess is Nasser's more Arab than Egyptian. Of course, Nasser was killed and succeeded by, wasn't there somebody before Mubarak? No, I guess Mubarak. Yeah, Sadat. Again, Arab, Mubarak, Arab, it seems to me, I don't know. Maybe you would want to call Mubarak and Nasser and Sadat Egyptians. But certainly here's a remarkable prophecy. There should not be a continuation of princes from the land of Egypt. And from the point where Ezekiel gives this prophecy, even though there's millennia of history of native Egyptian rule, you get a succession right up until the present of non-Egyptian rulers in Egypt.
Yeah, I know that. I'll put a hint. Are Egyptians Arabs?
I think Arabs historically would be people who were descended from Ishmael and Esau and the intermarriages between the descendants of Ishmael and Esau, and Egyptians come out of Ham. You know, if you Mitzrayim is a descendant, you go back into Genesis 10 where you trace the line of descent through the three sons of Noah. The Egyptians would come out of Ham, whereas the Arabs would come out of Shem.
And you said that Nasser, Sadat, and Mubarak are not native?
That's I don't know how you could. The Arabs have so intermixed with native Egyptian populations going back historically that it's probably hard to say anymore who was what. You know, as far as tracing that ancestry back into these lines of descent. And I'm just guessing. I'm not sure what Nasser, Sadat, and Mubarak are nationality-wise. But it would not surprise me if there's more Arab background to those three individuals than there is native Egyptian. You know, the native Egyptians, the Coptic people, in Egypt are really native Egyptians. And there's a Coptic church that is not Arab. It's more Greek-oriented. But that is more the true native Egyptian lineage, I think, among the Copts than it is among the mass of the people there, which are more Arab. And, you know, Arabic as a language, that's imported into Egypt. That's not historically Egyptian language. So, there's been a lot of changes there. Verses 14 to 16. I will make Pathros desolate, will set fire in Zoan, will execute judgments in No. No is Thebes, by the way. It's what the Greeks called No. I will pour my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No, or Thebes, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain. No shall be torn asunder. Memphis shall have distresses daily. Now, that city of No, which I believe NIV is translated Thebes, that's a city in Upper Egypt, about 500 miles south of Memphis.
Here's Memphis. Sort of mid-Egypt. Thebes is way down here. No, Karnak, Luxor, is the way it's known today. But that's way in the Upper Egypt. Upper Egypt goes down. No, it's the upper reaches of the Nile. That's where it comes from. You look at the map, you think Upper Egypt would be toward the Mediterranean. That's the other way around. That city it says in verse 14, I will execute judgments in No, or Thebes. And then in verse 15 it says, I will cut off the multitude of Thebes. Now today there are two districts of that site known as Karnak and Luxor. It's one of the wonders of the world. It's like a large outdoor museum. You take a tour to Egypt, and I'm sure all the tourist people want you to go to Karnak and Luxor. There are all these ruins of these buildings and temples and images and so forth. That city was taken by the Assyrians in 663. If you look at Nahum 3:8, Nahum says, are you better than Thebes? And of course, Nahum's a prophecy against Nineveh. Thebes had apparently already been taken by the Assyrians then. But within a few centuries after Ezekiel, in the time of the Ptolemies, that city revolted against the Ptolemy rule, and it was attacked by the Ptolemies, the people driven away. And the Ptolemies decided that they wouldn't permit it again to function as a major city. Some people were permitted to live there, but it really became a village. In 29 BC, the Romans attacked the city, and it ceased to be inhabited. Look at verse 16. I will set fire in Egypt, Sin shall have great pain. No, or Thebes, shall be torn asunder. Thebes will be torn asunder. And today the city is a city of ruins. Acres and acres of ruins, of temples, monuments, so forth. But compare that with verse 13, with Memphis. 13, I will destroy the idols, I will cause their images to cease from Memphis. It doesn't say that about Thebes. If Ezekiel had said that about Thebes, it would be demonstrably false. Because you can go to Thebes, Karnak, Luxor, and you see all kinds of images. Hundreds of them. When you look at the history of Memphis, however, it's quite a different thing. Memphis continued to be a great city
for 1,000 years after the time of Ezekiel. It was the capital of the Roman province of Egypt. Seat of the Roman government in Egypt. It's probably then full of images and idols, much like Luxor is. But if you go to Memphis today, you don't find it. And the question is why? Well, historically, what happened was when the Mohammedans conquered all of the Near East, including Egypt, they decided in Egypt, when they took over Egypt, they'd build a new city for their capital. And that was in 640 AD. And that new city was Cairo. Present Cairo. Cairo was built about 10 miles from Memphis. And when Cairo was built, what happened was they took the stones from the ruins of Memphis and used them in building the new city of Cairo. So it was like a stone quarry, the ruins of Memphis, and it all but disappeared. There's nothing left of it. So that here's a prophecy again, where Ezekiel says, I will destroy the idols, I will cause their images to cease from Memphis. Look at page 48 on your citations, middle of the page. Again from Encyclopedia Britannica, article on Memphis. In Hellenistic times, the city had a population of 700,000. A perimeter of 18 miles. That's a big city in the ancient world. The temple of Hephaestus, as the Greeks called Ta, enjoyed a great reputation, as did the medical school of the temple of Imhotep, Zoser's deified architect, the bull Apis. Epiphany of Ta continued to receive rich burial in the Serapeum at Saqqara, and its oracle was venerated by the Roman emperors. With the founding of Alexandria, however, the ruin of both Memphis and Heliopolis had begun. They were destroyed by the Arabs, and the medieval builders of Cairo used the ruins as a stone quarry. In modern times, hardly anything is left of the great city. Excavations carried out over a half a century by Flinders Petrie, University of Pennsylvania, Egyptian Antiquity Service, others have recovered scant remains of the Temple of Ta, the Palace of Merneptah, the embalming house of the Apis bulls, other once famous buildings. All that the visitor can see are a few stones among the palm trees in the fields, an alabaster sphinx, and a recumbent colossus of Ramses II. So, again, a remarkable prophecy of a major city that has disappeared. Now, again, you have a contrast, you see, in this chapter. Thebes remained a place full of images and idols and buildings. It's a remarkable museum, outdoor museum. Memphis has disappeared. If Ezekiel had said that the idols and the images would cease from Thebes, he would have been wrong. But he put it the other way around. I don't think Ezekiel knew anything about the rise of Islam and the fact that the Mohammedans would come into Egypt and build Cairo 10 miles from the previous site of Memphis. And he doesn't say anything about that. But he does say, I will destroy the idols and I will cause their images to cease. And that, in fact, is what happened. Now, certainly the Lord could have predicted the building of Cairo from the ruins of Memphis. But I think you're back into this matter of the character of predictive prophecy, where you don't get all the details. It's not like history written after the event. You get enough so that when it's fulfilled, you can say, yes, here's the fulfillment. But there are elements of information that are not included, and I think that is what we have here. The people in Ezekiel's day were told that Nebuchadnezzar would conquer Egypt, and he did that. And I think that's evidence of Ezekiel being a true prophet. But added to that are these statements about Memphis and Thebes that certainly go beyond the possibility of any human expectation or insight. It's not just a clever guess. But it's a statement by Ezekiel, through whom God was speaking and to whom God gave specific knowledge of particular things that were to happen in the future, long term. So again, I think you have an evidence that Ezekiel was a prophet of God. He was speaking for God, and an evidence that God is the one who rules and controls history and can tell things in advance before they occur. Okay, questions or comments? I think these two passages we've looked at in this section on prophecies of judgment against foreign nations are particularly interesting because of their apologetic value. We discussed that theoretically, first quarter, apologetic value of biblical prophecy. These are two prophecies that pertain to matters long after any possible question about date of the giving of the prophecy, and subsequent history shows how they were fulfilled. Okay, I think we'll stop here for today. It's 5 minutes early. I want to go on next session to D, get into the predictive prophecies, but let's hold off on that until...